And turn to the book of Exodus tonight, Exodus in chapter number 1. It is good for us to look at all the Lord has done. And don't wait until eternity, when you get to heaven, if you're going there, to thank Him. You say, I don't believe in all that. Well, don't go to heaven, because that's what it's going to be all about. Amen. And thanking God and praising God. It's going to be all about Him. And that's what it's all about here tonight. I love this, don't you? I like it every Sunday. I haven't got over it. To know Him and to make Him known. It's all about Him. And that's what we're here for tonight. It's just to make much of Him and to praise the Lord for it. Exodus chapter number 1, while you're turning there, I heard a joke, I guess you could say, tonight. I'm not a joke-telling preacher, but I liked this one pretty good. There was a little boy. He was walking out of the atrium with his mama on a Sunday morning service, and he's about 10 years old. And inside the atrium were all of these pictures of young men that were in the military and men that had been in the service. And the little boy looked at those pictures and he said to his mom, he said, Mom, he said, what are all those pictures of those young men? And she said, well, son, she said, those are pictures of all of our young men that died in the service. And he looked at his mom and he said, was it the morning service or the evening service? Amen. I liked that one, amen. I'm not much of a joke teller, but I thought that one was pretty good. So hopefully no young men die in tonight's service, amen. Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 22, the Bible says, and Pharaoh charged all of his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. That's pretty racist, isn't it? I mean, that right there, that's something else. Chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and there went out a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter, took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And verse 10 says, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. I want to preach tonight on the subject of turn loose of it. Turn loose of it. You'll understand the message in just a second. That's my title tonight for the guys in the soundboard. Turn loose of it. This truth that I'm going to preach tonight is it's the difference maker in your Christian life. What I'm going to preach tonight, if you get a hold of this truth, it will be the determining factor of whether or not you have a happy home or a bad home. It'll be the determining factor tonight whether you have a happy church, whether or not you experience the joy of the Lord, the victory in your Christian life tonight. If you get a hold of this truth, you know, when I read that thing, every mom in the building, that thing ought to send a shiver up every mama's spine. What happened to that mama there when she took that little baby and she put him down there in the river's brink and she turned loose that little boy? I got to thinking about this. This was her baby boy. She had looked at him. She had seen his eyes. She had kissed his head. She had held his hand. She had changed his diaper. She had nursed him. And now Jochebed, Moses' mother, is fixing to go down and take her only baby boy and put him in a river that's full of current and a river that is full of crocodiles. You say, why? She didn't have a choice. She didn't have a choice tonight on this. It was either put Moses in the river or he'd die. She had come to the place where she had to totally rely upon God. She came to the place where she could not work it out anymore. You and I like to work things out, don't we? Sometimes I just like to figure things out. I like to work things out. Listen, she couldn't work it out. She could not buy her way out. She could not talk her way out. She could not manipulate her way out. She had come to the place in her life where God told Jochebed, "Mama, you're just going to have to turn loose of that boy. You're going to have to turn loose of him." Jochebed, the mother of Moses, teaches us, I believe tonight, Brother Charles, one of the greatest lessons of faith in all the Bible. Because this mama could not control Egypt. She could not tonight change Pharaoh and what he had given there, the charge to his people in verse number 22. She could not change that. She could not guarantee tomorrow. The only thing she could do was obey God and trust God and place her little precious baby boy into the hands of God. We'll give you four things tonight on the subject of just turn loose of it. And I didn't even alliterate my outline because I was trying to alliterate it. I said, forget it. We'll just preach the points. Amen. Normally, I like to think in alliteration because it helps me. But sometimes you try to force it. And so I'm going to give you 4 points. It's not even alliterated. Amen. But here they are. Number one, this woman was faced with a terrible problem. She was faced with a terrible problem. You say, what was it? Well, in verse number 22, Pharaoh had issued a cruel decree that every baby boy was to be thrown into a river. Now, can you imagine the pressure that she had? She had a boy that she was to protect. She wanted to protect him. She was dealing with a bad government that was threatening her baby boy's life. She had, if I could say it tonight, humanly speaking, she had every reason in life to become bitter. I mean, really. She was put between a rock and a hard place. Yet Jochebed teaches us that we can still believe God tonight. Aren't you glad for that tonight? That you and I, no matter what we're going through, what situation we're in, we can still believe God. And here she is. She couldn't find a way out. Don't you know that she looked for another way? I mean, here she is. She's trying to figure out for 3 months and she's got this little baby boy. I wonder if there's any other way. She could have become angry. She could have become bitter. She could have started questioning God. But instead, in the text, she trusted God. And sometimes tonight, life puts us between a rock and a hard place. I don't understand why God does it. He's done it all the way through the Bible. It ought not to shock us, Brother Craig, that God would put us in a situation like this. Daniel was in Babylon. Didn't make any sense while that young man was down there, but there he was, put between a rock and a hard place, and had some decisions to make by faith. David had to face Goliath by faith, and so all the way through the Bible. And listen, the problem many times is big, but God is bigger than the problem. And God likes to get us to a place that God likes to work when nothing else will. He gets us to a place where nothing else will. We have tried everything that we can. Faith sees the invisible, doesn't it? She could see what she could not see. Faith sees the invisible, and then her faith believed the impossible. And then her faith received later on the incredible, the gift, and we're going to look at that in just a little bit. She was faced with a terrible problem. Can you imagine this? Try to put yourself in the text. As this mama has this boy, and she's trying to figure out what to do with him here, she's running out of options, she's running out of time, she's running out of situations, and she's finally got to a place where, listen, that's all she could do. She was faced with a terrible problem. Then number two, I like this because I think this will help us. Here's the truth. When you study Jochebed here in chapter number two, this mama did all she could do. She did everything that she could do. Look at verse number 2 of chapter number 2. The Bible says that she conceived and bare a son. When she saw that he was a goodly child, look at what she did. She hid him 3 months. I mean, she did what she could do right there. And then when she could in verse number 3, and when she could not, the Bible says she could not. Now listen, she did everything that she could do until she couldn't do what she could do. And when she could not, the Bible says, not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. She did everything that she could do. The Bible says that she hid him 3 months, and then she began to build this ark of bulrushes. The Bible says that she waterproofed it. She put the slime and the pitch therein. She had carefully prepared everything that she could possibly do there as that mama. Can you imagine that she walks into her kitchen and there's that ark there, and she looks at that ark and she thinks, man, the day's coming, the night's coming. I mean, everything, every day she'd walk past that ark and she would look at that ark, and knowing that the day was coming, knowing that it would not be long until she had to place that little baby boy that she loved so much inside that ark. She did all she could do. I wonder tonight, are you doing everything you can do? I know some people, they have financial difficulties. Here's the question first. If I was going to counsel you, I'm not much of a counselor. I'm getting better since I'm pastor's a good counselor. I'm learning. Amen? But here would be my first question. Do you got a job? That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, have you done everything you can do? Are you looking for a job? Amen. Have you prayed about it? Are you blowing money? Are you out of control on Amazon? One click, next day delivery. I mean, have you just done what you can do? You understand what I'm saying tonight? I wonder tonight, I don't know what your situation is. Maybe not financial, but have you prayed about it? Have you searched the scriptures? Have you done everything that you can do tonight? Are you reading your Bible? People come in, they have all these spiritual problems. First thing I many times ask them, are you reading your Bible? You know what? Almost everybody has the same answer. Well, Brother Brian, not like I should. You know what that means? Hardly ever. How in the world are you going to get something from God if you're not reading your Bible? I mean, 15 minutes a day will get you through there once a year. And yet there's people in this room that's never read it. And you wonder why you're up and wonder why you're down. Wonder why you're up, wonder why you're down. Wonder why you're in and wonder why you're out. Listen, have you done all you can do? Sometimes we come and we want, you know, the preacher to fix us. But you do what you can do. She did what she could do. She did everything that she could do. Do you go to church every time the doors are open? Thank God this is a Sunday night service. If I was preaching a Sunday morning, it might hit a little harder. Because there's some people, they only come once a week. I don't know how you make it. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you survive. Amen. If you're out there on internet land, I normally don't preach to an internet crowd. But listen, have you done everything you could do? Why aren't you here tonight? If you can be here, why aren't you? You see, you got to do everything that you can do. Most people, amen, they come to you and their life's all torn apart and they ain't done nothing. She did everything she could do. Do you tithe? Do you give to missions? Do you tell people about Jesus? Are you living in sin? It's a good one. Say, well, I ain't got no joy. Why don't I have no victory? Why don't I have no peace? You're living in sin. Sin that you know about. Open sin. Habitual sin. Daily sin. And you know about it and you make no big deal about it. You can't, listen, you won't, amen, be able to get the victory and have the power of God upon your life until you get out of that sin business. You say, well, Brother Brown, we all sin more than we should. I sin more than I want to. I don't want to. You can't sustain a life with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You know why? You'll be miserable in both worlds. You can't live a life with one foot in and one foot out. Your wife won't have any confidence in you. You say, Brother Brian, my wife don't respect me. That's because you don't live for God. You're not in. You got to get in all the way. Amen. Faithful to God and say, I'm doing everything I can do with my family. I'm listening to the man of God, reading my Bible, I'm praying, coming to church, even when I don't feel like it, I'm dragging in there. I start to tithe, I'm giving a little bit to missions. And listen, you start doing that, God will start working in your life. Business will start picking up in your life. Have you done all you can do? You know what I found out about God? Most of the time, God won't fix something if you can fix it anyway. Everybody wants God to just bail them out of everything. What have you done? I know we trust in God. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But you can't deny the fact the Bible said that she did everything that she could do. Have you done everything you could do tonight? Amen. You got to do your part. Have you said, I'm sorry? Have you ever done anything wrong? That'd be good. Some people ain't never done nothing wrong. Amen. It's always the other person. It's always them. It's always the wife or the husband or the spouse or the kids or the grandkids or the preacher or the assistant pastor or the deacons or the Sunday school teacher. It ain't ever them. Have you ever been wrong? That's the first thing tonight. Amen. You got to do what you can do. You say, I'm wrong. Hey, that's a step in the right direction. You got to do what you can do tonight. I know a man, and maybe some of you know him too. We won't call names tonight, but I know a man. It's been a member, if my count was right, of 7 churches in the past 4 years. And that man left every church because that church and the pastor was wrong. Let me ask you a question. What's the common denominator in all 7 of those churches? Anybody want to know? Him. And what's the odds, Mr. Spiritual, that you would choose 7 bad churches in a row to join? Now that's a question I'd like to know tonight. I'm just saying tonight, you got to do what you can do. Have you asked for forgiveness? Have you done all you can do tonight and you still don't have an answer? I'd say tonight the best thing you can do is what this mama did. You know what she did? She just turned loose of it. She took her hands off of that little baby boy, amen, and she gave him to God. She trusted God with him and trusted God to take him. And tonight, maybe that's what you need. You say, Brother Brian, I've done everything I can do. Whatever the situation is, financial, spiritual, marital, children, grandchildren, job, whatever. I don't know what it is tonight. You know what the good thing about the Holy Ghost is? You don't have to preach a lot of particulars because you know what the thing is tonight that you need to turn loose of. Because you've got a God that's a personal God. I don't know what it is tonight. But maybe once you've done what she did and you've done all you can do, the best thing you can do is just turn loose of it. The best thing you can do is do all you can do like she did and then turn loose of it and give it to God. You know what she did? I love the balance in Jochebed's life. She trusted God first. And then she did her part. Because faith is never laziness. Faith is not lazy. Faith works while trusting God for what only He can do. And when we do our part, listen, somebody said, work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends upon God. That's what she did. She was a praying and she was working. She was praying, but she knew what she was doing. She was preparing that ark. She was gathering those bulrushes. She was getting that slime for all of those months. I don't know how long it was, but there she was. She's preparing the ark for the day that she had to take that ark, that basket, put her baby boy down in that basket. Amen. And she knew that there was going to be a time when she had done all that she could do. She was going to have to go down there to the brink of that river and turn loose of that little boy. Tonight, Noah, you know what he did? He did what he could do. He built an ark. Then God did what he could do. God sent the rain. David picked up those stones, put them in his bag, went out there. He did what he could do. Went out there and faced Goliath. He didn't just stand there with the stones in his bag. Picked the stone up. Said, Lord, I'm going to do what I can do. Put it in the sling. That's what I can do, Lord. Swinging around, Lord, that's what I can do. But God, you're going to have to guide the rock. You see, you got to do what you can do first. And then God will do what He can do. The disciples filled those water pots, but only Jesus is the one. He's the only one that can turn the water into wine. God expects obedience before He performs miracles in our life. And sometimes we're looking for a miracle. We're looking for a bailout. We're looking for a move of God. And we ain't done our part. You got to do your part tonight. Some of you ain't never done your part. She was in a terrible situation. She did all she could do. And then, here's the message tonight. In verse number 3, she turned loose of her boy by faith. Now that's a hard one there. This had to be the hardest moment in Jochebed's life. She placed her baby in that little ark. The Bible said that she laid him among the flags and then she turned loose of him. She could not steer the current. She could not fight those crocodiles. She could not stop Pharaoh. She could trust God, though. She could trust him. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is simply going down to the brink of a river and letting go. That was her act of faith. After she did everything that she could possibly do, the day had came when Jochebed, she'd done everything that she could do. She no doubt had taken one more look. The day came. She looked down at that little baby boy. She looked at him. She probably picked him up, I reckon, and got one more hug. Leaned down there, got one more kiss. Man, that some of the best sugars you'll ever get is from the fat cheeks of a little baby. Amen? Could you imagine? As tears ran down her face, she took him and she placed him down there in the river. She touched those little fat cheeks one more time, maybe grabbed those little chunky legs she used to squeeze. She looked at that little baby boy one last time, eventually having to place him down there in that river. You know what she had to do eventually? After she got that sugar and she got that hug and she touched those cheeks and she said her goodbyes as tears ran down her cheeks. You know what she had to do? She had to go down there and she had to turn him loose and let go and know that he was in God's hands now. She done everything she could do, but then the day came. She had to turn him loose. I wonder tonight, you say, Brother Brian, I just don't like that. I don't know if I'd agree with that. Listen, if she hadn't have turned him loose, you know what would have happened to him? He'd have been dead. He wouldn't have made it. He wouldn't have made it. Maybe some of you tonight are saying, Brother Brian, I could never do that. Listen, if she hadn't, he would have died. He wouldn't have made it. There would be no deliverer for Israel if Jochebed wouldn't let her baby boy go. There'd be no five books of Moses in the Bible that we preach from, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, if she had not have gone down there to the brink of that river and let that little baby boy go. If she hadn't have let him go, listen, we'd be in a mess tonight. You say, man, that's hard. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy tonight. It's a gut-wrenching story when you put yourself in the text. When you think about how heartbreaking it was the hardest thing that Jochebed had ever done in her entire life. And listen tonight, if you live for God long enough, there isn't a person in here that won't have to go down to the brink of a river in your life and turn your pride and joy loose like Jochebed had to do. And listen, and if you can't do that tonight, if you can't do what that mama did by faith, you'll never have the victory. You'll never have the victory. You'll struggle. You'll be in your ups and your downs. Amen. If you never can, just let go and let God. God will never be able to use you if you're not willing to turn loose of that thing that you love the dearest. I don't know what it is tonight, but you're going to have to turn loose of it. If you don't turn loose tonight, you'll hold on to something until you die spiritually. You'll hold on so long your youngins will die spiritually. I've seen it tonight. And if you be honest, you've seen it tonight. Your joy will die. Your victory will die. Sometimes churches die because people don't want to let go. They got a hold of something, and man, they just said, this is the way we're going to do it. It's mine. This is the direction we're going to go. Amen. And listen, they ain't going to turn loose of it. Don't matter if God Himself walks in with an identification tag that said Holy Ghost and said, I need you to turn it loose or your church is going to die. Some folk, they ain't never going to turn loose of nothing. I know of two right now, two in my mind right now, churches that died. One of them still open, one of them is no longer in existence, and they're within a 50-mile radius of this church. Independent Baptist churches that were preaching the Bible, and somebody didn't want to turn loose. And they're not even preaching the Word of God. One of them's closed down. One of them, the pastor's in heaven, he died. And the other one, the pastor was in prison. He just got out, and his brains are scrambled like eggs. You say, why? Because somebody wouldn't turn loose. They grabbed a hold of something and said, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, and I don't care who comes by, I ain't going to turn loose of nothing. I've seen homes torn apart because somebody wouldn't let go of something. Something happened way back yonder, something that they're holding on to, some kind of act, some kind of bitterness, some kind of words that was said, somebody holding on to something. They ain't going to turn loose of it. Wreck their home, wreck their children, wreck their church, wreck their victory, wreck their joy, wreck their peace. I've seen it tonight. I don't know what your situation is tonight. I don't know what you're praying about. I don't know what you're holding on to. But I say tonight, some of you have been through some bad things. I mean, some of you have been through some real dark times, some real bad trials, some real heartbreaking things in your life tonight. And listen tonight, you better turn loose of it. Some of you holding on to it tonight. I don't know what it is, but you better turn loose of it. There's some God's people, they've been standing down there where Jochebed went, down in the brink of that river, 5 feet deep, amen, all the way up to their neck, hanging on to their basket. They've been down there 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, cattails done and growed up, amen, died, new crops, you know, growed up and died, still holding on. Let go of it tonight. I'm going to ask you tonight to let go of it. I don't know what it is, but you better turn loose of it. If you've done all you can do by faith, go down there and turn loose of it. He said, Brother Brian, what do I need to turn loose of? Well, she turned loose of her boy. Her boy. Listen, the hardest thing we'll do is give our children to God. That don't mean you give up on them. That don't mean you stop praying for them. That don't mean you stop loving them. But listen, you're going to have to turn loose of them. She had to let go of her little boy and put him in the hands of God. Maybe tonight it's a bad situation. When you live for God long enough, you're going to be in some bad situations. Church problems, family problems, 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 problems. And people, we try to change situations and manipulate situations. Best thing you can do, just let loose of it tonight. Let loose of a bad situation. Maybe tonight it's a bitterness that you're holding, like Pastor preached this morning. Something that you're holding on to, something that somebody said, something that was done to you. A letdown in your life. And it's poisoning you and it's poisoning those around you. Amen. Let loose of it tonight. Maybe tonight you need to let loose of something you believe. Some people say, well, Brother Brian, I just believe this is what God wants me to do. Well, stop believing it. Amen. Give your plans to God and let God take it. Let God take your life. Maybe it's a backslidden loved one tonight. Keep praying for them. Trust God. Amen. But listen, the prodigal would have never gotten right and never came to himself and went back to the father's house if daddy or mama or the church was down there paying his car note, paying his insurance, giving him some gas money, always bailing him out of the situation. You might have to go down to the river edge and turn loose of that backslidden loved one, amen, and let God deal with them where they're at out in the far country. I didn't say give up on them. I didn't say stop loving them. I didn't say don't stop looking in the direction of your child, amen, and hoping and praying they're going to come home, but stop bailing them out of the situation, amen. Turn loose and let God deal with them. You say, Brother Brian, it's hard. Oh, yeah, it's hard. Maybe you got big plans tonight for your life. Sometimes we hold so tightly to our plans and we miss God's plans for our life. Sometimes it's the American dream. You say, man, this is what I got going. And, man, I'm going to this college, I'm going to this school, and I'm for education, I'm for entrepreneurship, I'm for starting a business. We got men in this church, Brother Lewis and Brother Lauren and some other men that started businesses. God's blessing it. Thank God for those men. But listen, have you ever laid on an altar and said, Lord, what is your plans for my life? Some men, they run away to chase something and they get there and they find out that the American dream has become the American nightmare. And what they should have done is just turn loose of it. What's in your basket tonight with something that you love dearly that you need to turn loose of? And trust the Lord and thank the Lord. I don't know what it is tonight. If you don't turn loose of it, I've seen people, they've wrecked their home, they've wrecked their joy. You know one thing that goes when people won't turn loose is the assurance of their salvation. I mean, you got people that got saved by the good grace of God, and here they are serving God, they won't turn loose of something, and then they don't even know if whether or not they're even saved. You better turn loose of it tonight. Again, I don't know what it is tonight, but turn loose of whatever you got a hold of. You'll lose the assurance of your salvation. You know what else you'll lose tonight? You'll lose the touch of God. You'll lose the touch of God. You'll lose your walk with God. You'll lose the closeness that you used to have with God, His presence in your life. Do you remember when you used to feel God? I like it when I can feel God. I like sitting behind Brother Lewis because Brother Lewis can feel God. And I can feel God. Amen. And God starts moving. Amen. And man, we start moving too. You say, why? Because we can feel God. And man, there's a clap in your hands and you raise your hands up. I like when I look over and see Brother Lauren with his hands in the area. Man, you say, what is that? That's just people that can feel God. You know what? I've seen people that used to do that don't anymore. You say, what happened? They got a hold of something. They won't turn loose of it. They've lost the touch of God. They've lost their walk with God. They've lost the presence of God. Now they're just going through the motions. I've heard singers sing without the touch of God. I've heard preachers preach without the touch of God. I've done it tonight. I don't like doing it. I try to prepare. I try to pray. I try to say, Lord, God, whatever you got, give it to me. I'm not a good preacher. This is the best you got. But Lord, whatever you do, please touch me. God, give me something. Give me words. Don't let the words fall from this pulpit right down here. Amen. On deaf ears. God, make the words vehicles that I might preach the truth. But God, you're going to have to impart the truth to the hearts and the ears of your hearers. Oh, I don't want to lose that tonight. Don't lose it. Listen, if you ever lose it, you'll be just like Samson was. The Bible says about Samson that he lost the presence of God and he didn't even know he lost it. I've seen singers lose it, preachers lose it. I've seen churches lose the presence of God. Sunday school teachers lose the presence of God, and they didn't even know they lost it. Now, everybody around them knew that they lost the power of God and the presence of God. The Bible says about Samson that he went out to do what he had done before, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Boy, you don't want that tonight. You don't want God to just take his hand off of your life. He'll let you be saved. He'll let you go to church. He'll let you give. He'll let you tithe. He'll let you enjoy the things of God a little bit, enjoy some fellowship. But listen, I like it when God touches me and touches you and touches the singing, touches the choir, touches that the orchestra. You say, what makes a difference? God. We don't want to lose that tonight. It's easy to lose it if you won't turn loose of some things. Turn loose of it tonight. I've seen folks lose their children, lose their homes, lose their marriages. She turned loose of it. And lastly, I'm done tonight. You know what God did when she turned loose of it? Look at the text here in Exodus chapter number 2. The Bible says here in verse number 5, look at what happened. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself. This is after she turned loose of him. By faith, she let go. And she walked away from her boy. In verse 4, and his sister stood afar off to know, or to wit, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. I love that. God's already working. Because listen, listen, he used the cry of a newborn baby. He was going to bring Pharaoh's mighty kingdom crashing down. The Bible says the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. You say, what was that? That was the reward of her faith. That's the reward of her letting loose of her little boy. Verse 9, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." You know what happened? She got paid to raise her own child. You say, what's the reward tonight? God always rewards faith. It's what happens tonight after we turn loose. She turned loose of that ark. God directed that ark. God touched Pharaoh's daughter's heart. God protected that child. God arranged Jochebed herself to raise Moses. She let go, and God gave that baby back to his own mother. Amen. And not only that, but now Moses down the road is going to become the deliverer of Egypt, of Israel rather, out of the land of Egypt. God can do more, amen, tonight with us when we surrender than we could ever do ourselves by holding on to whatever tonight we need to let loose of. God always honors surrendered faith. I thought about when I was preparing this at moments in my life when God had me turn loose of some things. I remember back in the end of 2012, I believe it was, in 2013, I pastored that church in New Mexico, and everything that I had was there. Everything that I, everyone pretty much that I loved, and everything that I had and that I loved was there in that little town. My brother-in-law Jack, my future brother-in-law, came, and we loaded up that U-Haul there. And God had told me on July the 7th of 2013, I want you to move to Houston. And I didn't understand what God was going to do. I didn't understand why God had told me that. I just know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I didn't talk to anybody. Nobody talked me into it. I had some preachers try to talk me out of it. But he said, I want you to move to Houston. And I remember having to take everything that I had. My family, my life was a mess. I was broken. I was broke. Everything that I had was in that small U-Haul pickup. And I remember loading that pickup up, closing that door down. I got in the passenger seat. My brother-in-law Jack got in the driver's seat. I sat there, had tears running down my face. And I looked out that right-handed passenger mirror in the rearview mirror at everything that I had to turn loose of. It was a church, there was families, there was men that loved me and helped me and stayed with me when my life was in a million pieces. And I didn't understand why God was doing it. Listen, to this day, I don't understand why God sent me here. Well, I guess now I do. God had a bigger plan to bring me to the East River Baptist Church. But I didn't understand what God was doing. But I tell you, you say, what was He doing? All He got me to do was to get to a place in my life where everything was torn apart, everything was busted all to pieces, and I had to say, Lord, I turn loose everything, I don't understand it, put it in that U-Haul truck, drive towards Houston, amen, and trust that God down the road was going to reward my faith. And tonight I say this, I wouldn't trade a mile of the journey, I wouldn't trade one heartache, one trial, amen. I stood in my yard on Friday after I got done mowing my yard. I looked at 5 acres of property there that was all mowed and beautiful. I looked at my house and I had a horse stable and I had a barn and I have a deep freezer there that Brother Oakley helped me fill up with a half of a calf, amen. I turned around and looked at a van that was given to us and a pickup that I paid $1,500 for, amen, and a paid off Toyota Corolla that belongs to my daughter and a house, amen, that God gave to us in a town called Shepherd, Texas, that we said we would never live. Amen. And here I am. Amen. I'm fat. I'm happy. I'm right in the middle of the will of God. You say, what's all that? That's a reward of way back yonder. Amen. Having to turn loose of some things. Say, God, I don't understand this, but I'm going to come down to the river. I'm going to turn it loose and I'm going to go with God. Amen. And trust that you're going to be able to guide my steps and guide my family, guide my children. Here I am tonight. Amen. Preaching at the East River Baptist Church. And here I am, got my wife, I got my five children here tonight, including my future daughter-in-law, amen. You say, what is that? I'm one blessed man, and the only reason I'm here tonight, it ain't me, it's all Him. To know Him and to make Him known. God will get you to the place where if you'll turn loose of it, He'll reward you for it. Amen, He'll bless you for it. But you don't ever get the blessings until you turn loose of some things. I heard an illustration one time, I don't remember who I heard it from. It was about Brother Lester Roloff. Brother Lester Roloff, when he was a little boy, he said, I used to pick cotton from my daddy. And he said there was a little boy at 10 years old that used to pick cotton with me. His name was Billy. And he said, every day we pick cotton. And he said, Billy didn't have any money. He said his clothes was all ragged and tattered. And he had shoes, you know, holes in his shoes, and didn't have any money. And he said, we pick cotton for Daddy. And he said, every Saturday, Daddy would give me a dime. And he said, that dime would buy me and Billy a cold Coca-Cola down at the drugstore. He said, every Saturday, he said, Daddy, give me that dime. He said, I'd go down there and put the dime on the counter. One Coke, two Coke. Me and Billy walk out. He said, finally, he said, one day after months of doing that, getting that cold Coke every Saturday for picking cotton for Daddy, he said, I had that dime in my hand. And he said, Billy, before we got to the door of the drugstore, he looked over at Lester and said, Lester, can I give the dime today? Give him the dime. He said, oh, Billy walked in there, said, we want two Cokes. Put the dime down, paid for the two Cokes. He said, Brother Brian, we got a good church, and we do. God's been good to us. But if God lets us do anything around here at the East River Baptist Church, you know what it is? God just lets us give the dime. He said, Brother Brian, Miss Kathleen's a pretty good singer, and she is. But if God ever does something through Miss Kathleen, you know what that is? That's just God letting her give the dime. And whatever we do tonight, amen, whatever we got going on, if God does anything with us, through us, amen, you know what it is? It ain't us, it's just God letting us give the dime, amen. Billy just wanted to look like the big shot one time, didn't he? Amen. He wanted to look like somebody important, paying for those Cokes and giving the dime. Sometimes God lets us look like the big shot. Sometimes God lets us look like somebody important. We ain't really important, but it's just God every now and then letting us give the dime. But it's really all about Him tonight. There's much more I could say tonight, but I'm done. Listen, God's been good to us. And I don't know what it is. Maybe tonight you're like Jochebed in a terrible situation. Whatever it is, I don't know. You know what it is. Have you done all you can do? And then when you've done all you can do, take what you got, go down to the river brinks by faith, and turn loose of it and walk away. And down the road, I don't know if it's 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, 1 month, 1 week, 5 years, 10 years. I do know this. We've got a God in heaven that will reward faith. He likes it. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God, even if it's a basket with a baby boy, must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's an amazing story to me, that that mama would walk away. You know, it didn't take God very long, did it? The Bible says Moses' sister was over here. Jochebed had no idea Moses' sister was over here watching. And while God was working over here through faith, God was working over here through Moses' sister. And then God was working over here through Pharaoh's daughter. And it didn't take long to say, you know what? I like Jochebed's faith. And I appreciate her believing me. And I appreciate her turning loose of it. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to take this baby boy and we're going to give it back to Jochebed. And you're going to get to raise this baby boy. And by the way, the Bible says the child grew. Did you know your children will grow when you have faith in God? A child grew, and not only did he grow and she get to feed him, she got paid to raise her own child. You see, God will give you more than you gave up. Amen. He'll give you more than you ever dreamed, that you ever, amen, had to give up in life. But you got to give it to Him. Amen. Turn loose of it tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I don't know, Lord, tonight who needed the message. Lord, I reckon probably all of us need it at one point in time in our life. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us, Lord, as we just try to live the Christian life and try to do our best to turn loose of some things, do all that we can do, and trust you with our life. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, if there's anybody in here that's got something they're holding on to, something that they need to turn loose of tonight, I pray by faith at an old-fashioned altar sitting there in their pew, God, that by faith and through prayer and a surrendered heart, that tonight they turn loose of it. And Father, down the road, we can rejoice together at what you did because you honored their faith. And Lord, I love you tonight. Lord, help me to love you more. And God, help me, Lord, to continually throughout my life turn loose of some things so that we can see the hand of God working down the road. And Father, we ask all this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.